Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, this week, Chris O'Brien is a recovering... He's waiting to say recovering what? You notice how the pause is what refreshes us here. So let's try it again. Chris O'Brien is a recovering... Fill in the blank.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say, Gene. I'm recovering from 16 months of sitting in one chair in one place and growing roots.
Yes, but you go outside for smoke breaks.
I do. I do.
I have to get on you for that. I just read how Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock, is suffering from a lung disease because he was once a heavy smoker, but that was 30 years previously. So he's now a guy in his early 80s. He gave up smoking in his 50s, and he still suffered the consequences. Chris, what do we do about you?
Switch me to an e-cigarette, which is what I'm doing. I'm weaning myself over to e-cigarettes.
Okay.
I love my nicotine.
But with e-cigarettes, you can smoke them inside because we don't let anybody smoke in this residence.
Yeah. Your point being?
I don't like the odor. Anyway, seriously, we don't let anybody smoke in my car either, by the way. All right. So he'll tell us about his e-cigarettes. I guess also he's going to feel more relaxed now because of the fact that the book is done. And we went through this long period of corrections.
Oh, boy, did we.
And you can bet that the people buying the book, a few early adopters, will go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Any typo they find, they'll scream about. But that's preposterous, because nothing is perfect.
Well, especially since the book is almost 500,000 words. I don't want to scare potential readers off, but it's about as extensive and comprehensive as the subject will allow.
And we didn't make the type too small for readability. We kept it reasonable size type.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, one of those books where you have a space and a half between lines. This is definitely a tome, I think would be the term. It's at the printer, and I've signed off on it. They're printing it hopefully today as we speak. It should be ready to ship out early next week, towards the middle of the week. And I'm really excited. I put really a lot of time and effort and energy into this, and I had the help of Gene and a couple of editors, a couple of proofreaders, and, you know, because Ventures Unlimited does not have an editorial department or a proofreader, I took it upon myself to create as perfect a book as I could, and I did have help. So as I've mentioned to several people, I think this book will be around a lot longer than I will be, so I wanted to make it as perfect as possible, and I'm very proud of it. I really have a sense that this is going to be the go-to book on the subject from here on out.
Well, if you don't give up on smoking, it may outlive you. I certainly hope you do. All right, you see, I'm really digging it into him.
Yeah, you are. Well, I feel good. I feel like a tremendous weight has been lifted off my head. My attitude is better. I'm not so preoccupied. I'm almost at a point where I'm not quite sure what to do with myself. You know, I am starting work or have begun researching the follow-up to Stalking the Herd, which is tentatively titled Stalking the Stalkers. Kind of ironic title. But I really feel that a complete analysis of the first book is really important to put all that information into an analytical context, and David Perkins and I are going to be co-writing this follow-up book, which will analyze the 600 pages that the first book presents, all the data, and now we have to analyze it. I did not have room to put in an extensive analysis of the data. I do put in my 2 cents worth, especially in the final chapter, chapter 12. I do go in depth on some of my own theories, but that's not to say that more analytical work shouldn't be done. I really do feel that it needs to be really put into a think tank situation and really come up with some trends, patterns. We've already identified some that I'm very excited about where the analytical process is going, and we're already hard at work on it.
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe the title of the sequel. Why don't you call it After the Herd? You have Stalking the Herd, After the Herd. You know, you do like movies. You come up with a title like that. After the Herd, Before the Herd, do the prequel. You know, yeah. Now it's prequels. And then, of course, 5 years from now, we have the reboot.
Right.
Which is Stalking the Herd Begins.
The Herd Lives. Well, there, you know, I can't help but notice in the news today, there's an announcement by the state of Virginia that they're expanding their, monitoring deer herds in the state of Virginia. They've expanded the areas that they think the chronic wasting disease has spread to. And this is going to be something that we're going to be hearing time and time again over the coming years of how TSE or transmissible spongiform encephalopathy is spreading through the wild deer and elk populations. And there's no end in sight with it. If you're a hunter and you're east of the Rockies, you have to have the head tested. You should not render that animal and eat it without being completely sure that it's free of chronic wasting disease.
And the biggest disease of all will be learning how to pronounce the name of that disease. It's going to be really difficult.
Transmissible spongiform encephalopathy.
Okay. You know, I want to say something about the show we had with J.C. Johnson a few weeks ago. And he was kidding there about Bigfoot scat. Okay? And he used a few other words for that stuff.
Poop.
So I made a few silly remarks. Unfortunately, one listener took that seriously, took umbrage on my attempts to make light of scat, okay? Make scat lighter rather than being a heavy subject to deal with. He said that guy should be fired. And since, of course, I'm the owner of the company, I wrote him back and said, I'll tell you what, just don't listen. I don't have time for this, really. You know, all this aggravation over a few sentences. Wow, you made a fuss over it, okay?
Well, that's all right, Gene. You don't want to poop on the parade and you know, kind of lower the bar of civility.
I think his letter was poop. Okay? There we go. I said it, ladies and gentlemen, and that's it. Let's stop right here before we get in trouble. Let's look at our guest for today. And once again, after an excursion back to UFOs last week with Dr. Bruce Maccabee, this week we're going to cryptozoology. We're going to strange creatures. And we're going to talk with a writer and a musician, a guy named Lyle Blackburn. And he's got a new book out about the Lizard Man.
Pretty fascinating. I went through the book quickly and I was amazed at the outbreak of sightings in South Carolina in 1988-89. It was national news. CBS News went down there. I think the Today Show did a live feed from down there. Pretty interesting stuff. I can't wait to get into it with Lyle about this and find out more. This is really quite a compelling subject that you don't hear much about. Of course, you hear about Bigfoot all the time now. We hear about, flying creatures, flying humanoids, and other types of high strange categories of sightings. But lizard men is not something that you normally hear about. And the book is filled with a bunch of interesting reports that have surfaced all the way back into the 1800s. And it's quite fascinating and a real head-scratcher, I must say.
Okay. The book is called Lizard Man, but Lyle Blackburn has written another book called The Beast of Boggy Creek. So that one has a foreword by Lauren Coleman. This one has a foreword from Nick Redfern. So he's in good company.
Yes.
The guest is Lyle Blackburn. He'll be on with Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, Tell you what, neighbors, head on over to A2Hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, A2Hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission and my resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We introduced to our listeners of the Paracast Lyle Blackburn, and he's involved in cryptozoology. He's also a musician. And we're going to talk about his latest book, which is called Lizard Man, but also the previous book from a couple of years back called The Beast of Boggy Creek. So that creature is from Arkansas. The new one, The Lizard Man, is from South Carolina. Lyle, welcome to the Paracast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we get underway with looking for strange creatures, which we do from time to time on the Paracast, tell our listeners about your background, what got you interested with legends about monsters?
Well, it was definitely one of those things I was interested in at a very young age. You know, I always loved monsters and loved horror movies, but I especially gravitated towards things that were presumably real, you know, cryptozoology creatures, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, things like that, you know, ghosts, Bermuda Triangle. You know, when I was a kid, I watched all those sorts of shows. And it was just sort of a lifelong interest, and I read books and things like that. As an adult, I became a writer, and in doing so, I began to look back at a lot of these things and started looking more in-depth into the cases, and it fascinated me, and so that became something I wanted to write about, and that led to the first book, The Beast of Boggy Creek, because I had seen a movie as a kid called The Legend of Boggy Creek, which was based on some real sightings in Arkansas. So that's kind of where I started, and that was very well received, and so I decided to keep up with that, and that's what led me to the Lizard Man case.
Our listeners will want to know, do you have a day job?
Not so to speak. I'm a freelance writer, so I still, you know, I don't make a living writing the books completely. I do other, you know, freelance things. Also, I'm a writer for the magazine Rue Morgue. It's a popular horror magazine, you know, you can pick up at Barnes & Nobles and places like that. So I have a column in there, and I write for that magazine. I played in bands for years, you know, fairly semi-pro, and we toured all over the world and stuff. So I still get a lot of royalties off the music. So all combined, that sort of is my job, plus monster hunting.
Okay, now, in choosing which monsters to explore, do you look at recent legends and stories, or do you just pick out something that happens to interest you?
Well, a lot of it, is dependent on where I'm located. You know, in the case of both of my books, I definitely wanted to go to these areas and do research. I don't want to sit on the internet and try to write a book like that. So, you know, I mean, I need to concentrate. I live in Texas, so, you know, starting with the Boggy Creek monster that was just across the border in Arkansas. So definitely a place that I could visit the areas where it was sighted, interview people in the actual area. And, you know, I've visited places like Honey Island Swamp, where there's the Honey Island Swamp monster in Louisiana, and on over to the southeast where, you know, the South Carolina, where the Bishopville lizard man is. So that's kind of where I concentrate and what I choose. You know, I mean, I love tales of lake monsters and, of course, you know, Loch Ness or Lake Morar over there in Scotland. But they're so far away, and I like to do firsthand research that most of the time what I write about is going to be in the south or southeast U.S.,
Now, are creature sightings like this focus more on particular regions of the U.S.? I'm thinking about other monsters like the Flatwoods Monster in West Virginia. We're thinking, of course, about also Mothman.
Right. I mean, those would be, you know, regional creatures, so to speak. And if you were to write a book on the Mothman, you know, you would go to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and you would, you know, go from there. My books have been very focused in that I've explored sightings of a creature that occurred over X number of years in a certain area, rather than, you know, writing a book on, you know, Bigfoot or something where I just talk about sightings worldwide or even in the U.S. or something like that. And I think it's one reason my books have been successful, but also, you know, one reason that sets me apart is because rather than just try to write these, you know, encyclopedias of cryptozoology monsters and briefly mention something, I really dig into a case and bring forward details and a lot of time witness sightings that nobody has ever heard of, because nobody, you know, really went and spent so much time digging around, you know, at the location. So, you know, mine are very focused on a certain case, which is to me more fascinating to really bring out all the details.
Lyle, one thing that I noticed in your book is that you do go back and do some historical research and mention some pretty interesting cases and sighting claims that go all the way back into the 1800s. Perhaps this is a good place to give our listeners a bit of a background on this particular described creature, which I don't think very many people are aware of how many sightings of these strange amphibious bipedal creatures have been made over the years, especially here in the United States.
Right, and that's one thing you will find out as you start looking into modern sightings of these things. Most times, you can backtrack and find, historical references, old sightings, that are maybe to the 1800s, and then back to Native American legends. As far as you can look, you'll see these either coincidental or, kind of spooky that they were seeing this stuff in the same area. So in the case of the Bishopville Lizard Man, I did, look into the back history around there and found that there were Native American legends about a race of men who they described in sort of reptilian terms. They said they had these rigid tails, and they existed off by eating fish, and they came from the sea, and these people disappeared after the fish ran out. So while the descriptions here don't really match the modern description of the lizard man, it is really weird that you could find Native American history about a reptilian-type humanoid in this very area where in 1988 people started reporting the lizard man. And, note that the people who reported, the witnesses who reported seeing the lizard man would have had no earthly idea that there was any sort of old Native American tales that would be similar. So it is, a very cool connection and one thing that brings substance to the case,
I'm going to ask you when we get to our next segment whether, in looking over possible candidates for further investigation, you found cases that just didn't pass muster. It was just people telling tall tales around the campfire, as some people complained about a guest we had on a few weeks ago was doing. But we'll get into that and more. We're going to look at the lizard man and other strange creatures. Our guest is Lyle Blackburn. We got more to come. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Chris has his inner lizard taking control of his being right now. Gene and Chris talking to Lyle Blackburn. Lyle, in choosing cases to do on-site investigation, when you do on-site investigation, folks, he's traveling to that place. He's got to stay at the local motels or find somebody to put him up or something. The key here is it involves a lot of time and expense. It's not a casual thing. So in looking for places that interested you, Lyle, did you find any that just didn't pass muster at all?
Yeah, I mean, there are some that, you know, as you look a little bit further into them, there's some dubious aspects to it, things that don't add up or witnesses whose stories, you know, seem a little bit far-fetched. And certainly by going to an area and trying to speak to people more in person rather than, you know, getting a summary from Wikipedia or something, you can kind of sort out what seems real and genuine from something that's been, you know, passed down, rewritten and summarized, you know, 20 times on the internet, you know, so far from the source. So yeah, certainly, you know, in two aspects. One, I have interviewed witnesses in some cases that, you know, I just didn't feel like their story stood up. So I just didn't include those as examples of credible reports. You know, on top of that, you start expanding out, and like in the case of the lizard man, we're going to look at, you know, other reptilian reports from around the U.S. Well, when you start looking into sort of reptilian slash amphibious, you really start getting on the fringes of cryptozoology and, you know, into paranormal or whatever. I found that, you know, some of those cases were just very dubious. There's one called the Loveland Frog, which comes up a lot when you talk about sort of lizard men or amphibious creatures. And, you know, I looked into that, and, you know, I just sort of tell the story, but I, you know, make no bones about it, you know, even in the book, and say, I don't know, you know, it's a few things don't add up. I just call it how it is, you know. So some cases are going to have better support and credible evidence, and then some of them just have very little to go on. So you just kind of have to make a judgment. Like I said, in my books, I just tell the story. It's a great story no matter what it is, because these are mysterious things, and I just try to sort out the truth, offer it up, and let myself and the readers decide from there.
Well, let's go in and talk about Bishopsville and this incredible outbreak of reports that happened in the early summer of 1988. I think the first report of, correct me if I'm wrong, is a family reporting that their Ford LTD had been mauled at night, and they couldn't figure out what had tore up the fender and other things. And then a few days later was the next month was a very bizarre report that was filed by a guy named Chris, what was it, Davis, I think,
right,
who reported seeing this creature. Why don't we start with those early events, and then we'll kind of continue on and show some of the other eyewitness cases that occurred during this very interesting flap that occurred in, I think, Lee County, correct me if I'm wrong, South Carolina?
Right. Yeah, it was interesting how the whole thing got started. It was in the July of 1988, and the sheriff's office down there, the Lee County sheriff, got a call from those folks who said, you know, we woke up this morning, our Ford LTD has been eaten up. It looks like an animal attacked it. And so sheriff said, okay, he sends a couple of deputies down there to check it out. Well, they look at it, and it, sure enough, it really does look like an animal has done something to the car. Pieces are ripped off, but there's sort of some footprints, there's some hair, really strange. So they call back down there to the sheriff, Liston Truesdale, and said, hey, sheriff, this is weird. We don't know what to make of it. You might better come check this out. So he goes down there, starts looking into it. And in the process of that, some of the locals started gathering around, you know, the police are there. So, you know, people are gathering, and some of them came up and said, well, you know, this might be the result of a creature that people have been seeing around here. We call the lizard man. And so the sheriff is like, the what? You know, the lizard man. And, you know, he's listening. He's just trying to make sense of this. You know, they say, yeah, you know, several people lately have seen a tall, maybe 7 foot tall creature. It's either brownish or greenish in color. And, you know, it seems to be lurking in this area, an area which is called Skateboard Swamp. And the car, which had been damaged, was right on the outskirts of the Skateboard Swamp. So the police weren't sure what to make of this, but either way, they had a damaged car and, you know, some tall, crazy stories. So they said, well, look, you tell anybody who has seen this creature to come see us. And so this actually got in the newspaper, and that's what brought in Christopher Davis. A few days later, Christopher Davis's father brought him down to the police station and said, you know, my son may have something to add to this whole lizard man. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, he was attacked by a creature kind of fitting this description. And so, you know, that's when the whole witness thing came forward. And his sighting, just to briefly sum it up, was very sensational. He said he had a flat tire in the middle of the night out by Skateboard Swamp on his way home from work. As he was getting ready to leave, he sees some kind of humanoid figure coming at him through the fennel grass. As it gets closer, he could tell that it may probably not a man. He didn't know what it was. He jumps in his car, tries to speed away. This thing tries to get in. It jumps on the car, tries to attack him. And so while it sounds crazy, Sheriff Truesdale did believe this kid was telling the truth. He wasn't sure what exactly had attacked him, but he felt that something had happened to this kid. And so that's where it all started. That got in the newspaper, and everybody just kind of went lizard man crazy there in that summer.
Very briefly here, has anyone been seriously harmed by one of these creatures or killed by one of them?
No, I mean, there's no proof of that. And Christopher Davis, you know, by all accounts, seemingly came the closest to being injured. But, you know, a lot of the other witnesses just got brief glimpses running across the road. They saw it at the edge of the woods, things like that. It never attacked anybody else. But as far as, you know, Christopher Davis, that surely is the hinge point sighting. And it did appear to be aggressive towards him.
That these sightings seem to be clustered around the Skateboard Swamp and the particular road, Browntown Road, that crosses the swamp. And then this particular bridge seems to be kind of the epicenter where a lot of these witness reports seem to be generated from. What do you think about that? Is that an indication that this particular creature was inhabiting that area And if so, for how long? I mean, what was the duration of the sighting events?
As I mentioned, the police had kind of put out this APB on people who had seen it to come forward. And after Christopher Davis had come forward, you know, his had been within a couple of weeks. Some other guys had come forward that had sightings dating back a couple of years. So, you know, people in the area had been seeing something strange lurking down there for, you know, some time before it ever, you know, became public knowledge, which is typical in these cases. I find that, you know, you have a lot of people that's going to see something. Well, what are they going to do? They're not going to run to the police or the newspaper. It takes an event sort of like the police getting involved and Christopher Davis coming forward that some other people will end up coming forward and saying, hey, you know, I saw this thing. I just didn't tell anybody. So, you know, it was mostly in that Skateboard Swamp area near Bishopville. And it's a place where you sort of where civilization sort of meets that swampy bottomland, a lot of undeveloped area. And of course, by me going there, I can really determine, you know, is this a place where a large animal could even roam? But it is true that Skateboard Swamp is fairly remote, rugged. I interviewed Sheriff Truesdale, and he told me about, you know, a lot of the history and how, you know, moonshiners used to hide in there and things like that.
We have Lyle Blackburn. We're talking about the Lizard Man and other stuff. Frightening stuff with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
This is Kurt Sevenby, author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
So Chris gave up the lizard voice, okay, for this segment, but he'll come back with it. Lyle Blackburn is joining us. His books, The Beast of Boggy Creek and Lizard Man. Tell us more, Lyle.
So, you know, by going to this area and seeing Skateboard Swamp myself, you know, I could determine that, you know, it conceivably is an area where a large creature could remain undetected for some time. It's hard to say, you know, if the alleged Lizard Man had been in the area for a long time. I mean, there just wasn't many sightings or none that we could trace back that went much further back than the mid-80s. So, you know, hard to say, or, you know, was a creature passing through there, which is certainly possible because it is a waterway, and waterways seem to be a place that these creatures are seen frequently, you know, from Bigfoot to other strange creatures. They travel the waterways. I mean, this is like a highway to them in a way to remain concealed and to stay near a source of water, which is, you know, something they definitely need. So it's not surprising that you could have a creature seen in one area for a short period of time and then maybe move on. So, you know, if you widen the scope, you can see that along the Ohio River Valley and other nearby waterways that would eventually feed into South Carolina, that there are a history of, you know, strange sightings there as well.
Well, I noticed here that the national media really jumped all over these initial reports, and that People Magazine came down to Bishopville and Dan Rather from CBS News. Now, this is all within a month of the Chris Davis claim. Now, do you have a sense that possibly this national exposure may have led to some people claiming that they saw this thing just to get attention? Or how do we factor out media coverage and people wanting to get their names mentioned or their faces on the local TV show or even a national TV show? How do we separate the wheat from the chaff when it comes to that?
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting aspect of the story, just how much media was going on. I mean, it's just mind-blowing because the case was generating, you know, media on a national level and even international. I think that if it was a case of a lot of people trying to get their name in the media and so forth, there would have been a lot more sighting reports. And being that the sheriff's office was looking into it and monitoring it very closely, I'm quite confident that most of the sightings, you know, had come to light at the time. And I don't, you know, and I've looked at each one and in some cases talked to some of those witnesses, and I don't feel like any of them were making anything up, especially to get in the media. And most of them, aside from Christopher Davis, who just sort of reported what he saw before there was a big media rush, most of those people, you know, they didn't do a lot of interviews. They were barely mentioned in the paper, you know, so they didn't seem to be all about trying to, you know, make something of it. So I didn't find that they were, you know, trying to get media coverage. I mean, there was one guy who actually perpetrated a hoax, which, you know, was he was busted and you know, it's an interesting part of the story, but that's the only guy that pulled any shenanigans. And sure enough, the sheriff's office wasn't fooled by any of that. And, you know, it came to light that he never saw the lizard man. So I think the wheat from the chaff has been fairly sorted, and I'm fairly confident that those witnesses saw what they saw.
Well, it's interesting, I must compliment you, Lyle, on your timeline that you provide at the end of the book, which goes down date by date all the developments in this particular flap of events. And one thing that really comes through impressively is you mentioned on August 26, 1988, a little over a month after Christopher Davis made his sighting, and also Davis was given a polygraph test, which he passed, as you note in your book. But I see that a Colonel Mason Phillips of the Army Corps of Engineers had a sighting in Lee County, and there were other, you know, pillars of the community. There was a rumored sighting by a bank president. There were others, too, that are the kinds of people in the kinds of positions that you don't normally associate reporting or telling stories that they'd seen a creature of this sort. Generally, most people, the skeptics out there, think that it's only people that are, you know, smoking crack in their trailer at the trailer park that see UFOs or strange creatures. You mentioned some pretty reputable folks in your book, and why don't we go in and talk about some of the other sightings that happened there, the middle part and towards the end of the summer of 1988.
Yeah, certainly. And that the colonel reporting that sighting is another one that you can definitely say he wasn't looking for media attention. In fact, he did not want his name used in the paper, but he felt it to be his duty to inform Sheriff Truesdale about what he saw. So, you know, in fact, I mean, he was risking his job really to go reporting something like that. I saw a lizard man. You know, that's not great on the colonel's resume. So, and in fact, he did not want his name used. I know his real name, and I honored that original request that it not be used in the paper. So I had to do a little switching on his name there to keep it anonymous. So he is still, you know, he's actually passed on, but his wife is still alive. But that was an interesting sighting. It was, you know, rather brief. He saw it run across the road. It was interesting, though, that he said he thought it had a tail, whereas most people did not describe the creature as having a tail. Now, the media always kind of drew it as some kind of a silly dinosaur-looking alligator man, but that's not really what people describe. They describe more of a just humanoid creature without a tail. But he did describe a tail, and, you know, it was a very brief sighting. Later, some other guys came forward, one of those being Frank Mitchell. He had had a sighting actually from his airplane. He was a crop duster, and during that summer, actually prior to Chris Davis's sighting, he was taken off from his runway, and as he looked down, he saw some sort of strange creature running out in the open just between two sets of woods. And of course, he's in the plane. He's trying to look down and look back, and it, you know, got out of sight, so he didn't have a very long look at it, but he was quite certain it wasn't a person running across there, that, you know, it could have possibly been what people were dubbing the lizard man. So, and I spent some time with Frank at his house and discussed it with him. And I just don't feel like he's making this up. He didn't receive great media coverage or riches or fame from it. He just saying, here's what I saw, you know.
Another interesting event that you mentioned is an airman from Shaw Air Force Base, Kenneth Orr, who claims he actually took a shot at the lizard man. Why don't you describe that particular encounter?
And bear in mind, too, we have 2 minutes till we do the break. So if we have to split up the comment, Lyle, we'll do it. Go ahead.
Okay. Kenneth Orr was the one I mentioned that ended up being a hoax. He said he encountered the lizard man while driving his car. He got out. He shot it. And what he did was bring some fish scales down to the sheriff's office as evidence of this having occurred. Well, it didn't take long for them to sort out the truth and
You know, they knew fish scales. I mean, Sheriff Truesdale's fished plenty of times. He wasn't fooled by any of this. So there was a case where, yeah, there was somebody trying to perpetrate a hoax, and he said he did it to keep the legend alive. I guess he felt it was his duty. I mean, I don't know, but like
right, he got busted for having an unregistered gun, as you note in your in your timeline here.
Right. Yeah. So he ended up, you know, getting in worse trouble. So, you know, there's a case, and it's an interesting part of the story, but certainly one that, you know, has played out and does not support, you know, the sightings. It's interesting, another interesting aspect of that. Recently I saw a comment on the internet where that dude's brother said that he was responsible for all the lizard man sightings. He was the one who frightened Christopher Davis. He was wearing some kind of a mask because he passed there by there at night on his way home from work at Shaw Air Force Base. So all of it's nonsense because I know where the guy lived at the time. I know where Shaw Air Force Base is. He did not have to pass anywhere near Skateboard Swamp. There's a lot of things that didn't add up. So you have a lot of people later on trying to claim that I was the lizard man. But it's almost like confessing to a crime that you don't have, you know, backup for.
Lyle Blackburn joins Gene and Chris exploring monsters. You're in the Paracast.
America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.